This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge has announced two additional salmon fishing openers on the Kuskokwim River main stem. The first starts today and is a 24-hour set gillnet only opportunity. It runs from noon on July 7th to noon July 8th. The second salmon opener is a 24-hour drift and or set gillnet opener. It begins Friday, July 10th at noon and ends Saturday, July 11th at noon. For information about regulations and upcoming salmon openers, head to kyuk.org. A man from Utmautluk has been charged with manslaughter and other felony charges after a man was shot to death in a home last week. Alaska State Troopers say 36-year-old Levi Beaver gave differing accounts of the events that led to the death of 28-year-old Byron Waska. Waska was found dead in Beaver's home on July 1st. Troopers say they initially received reports that Waska had shot himself and that Beaver had been the only other person in the residence at the time. According to charging documents, Beaver told a state investigator who responded to Utmautluk that Waska had requested to see a handgun that Beaver owned with the intention of possibly purchasing the gun. Beaver also initially allegedly told the investigator he had only heard and had not seen the gun discharge, according to charging documents. But the next day, he allegedly recanted the story and said the gun had accidentally discharged as he was handing it to Waska. Beaver has been charged with felony manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, and weapons misconduct, in addition to misdemeanor weapons misconduct. He is currently being held at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center in Bethel. A hearing in his case is set for July 13th in Bethel Court. Waska's body was sent to the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage, and his next of kin have been notified. President Trump has pardoned a diesel mechanic from Wasilla who was convicted of removing pollution control equipment from diesel vehicles. He granted full clemency on Friday to Mackenzie Spurlock, co-owner of Matanuska Diesel. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan celebrated Spurlock's pardon. He and other critics of the equipment say it often fails in temperatures lower than 12 degrees. He sponsored a bill that would require the Environmental Protection Agency to rewrite its rule to accommodate cold climates. At a hearing in March, Sullivan said the D.C. lawyers writing the rules don't feel their impact.
It's the truck drivers, mechanics, equipment operators, farmers out on remote highways doing the hard work that keeps our communities supplied and our economy moving.
Spurlock was accused of disabling emissions equipment on pickup trucks and a van, 20 vehicles in all, his attorney wrote. His pardon was announced along with those of seven other men convicted of Clean Air Act violations. They either removed required devices from diesel vehicles or sold equipment to do the conversions. Anti-pollution advocates oppose weakening the law that reduced smog in American cities. At the March hearing, Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island said the pollution control equipment for diesel vehicles dramatically reduced emissions of nitrogen oxide, or NOx.
NOx causes lung disease, reproductive issues, birth defects, kidney problems, nerve damage, autoimmune disease, and cancer.
Spurlock did not respond to a phone message left at his shop. He was charged in 2023 and sentenced last year to 5 years of probation. The pardon restores all his civil rights. It's been over a year since the Trump administration began making sweeping cuts to the federal workforce. And given that Alaska has one of the highest concentrations of federal workers in the country, economists have been working to understand the magnitude of the federal job reductions in the state. Alaska Public Media's Ava White spoke with Brock Wilson, an economist with the University of Alaska Anchorage's Institute of Social and Economic Research, whose research found Alaska's federal workforce shrank almost 16% between April 2024 and April 2026. Nationally, the federal workforce shrank by about 15% during the same period.
When you look at places like D.C. and Virginia, they clearly had the largest cuts. We are definitely taking a larger than average, a larger than median loss here for the federal workforce. And I think the thing that is, to me, more apparent is that this isn't done because the hiring freeze is still in place. And you can see that in the numbers that we've seen a large decline in federal employment just due to that simple fact.
So your research suggests that layoffs aren't the full picture.
Right.
What else is there?
So there are sort of a few different components moving. When the new administration came into office, there was a hiring freeze, and that severely restricted the amount of hires coming in to the federal workforce. There was a DRP, Deferred Resignation Program, which was, I'm going to offer you a set amount of money, and then you would exit the workforce. And then there was a probationary termination, sort of reduction in force combination, just to reduce the workforce. And I think sort of early on, the concern was how much were we going to, and we did lose some people to the probationary terminations and the reductions in force. That there are people who did lose their job, which was unfortunate. But the thing that was a little more surprising is that the mass of people that left were from this deferred resignation program. You know, the set of people that we lost from that was immense. Like, we are talking about, I don't remember the number off my head, but
it was over 600.
And these aren't people who are doing, for Alaska, doing sort of desk jobs where they're, you know, filing papers. These are people who have jobs like they're park rangers, they're fishery technicians. Their output is really important to the input for industries in Alaska, right? All of that movement of separations, those jobs aren't being replaced. The hiring freeze is still in place, and we aren't seeing, we see some seasonal hires coming in, but not the same level that we had prior.
You talked about it a little bit, but I was curious if you could talk a bit more about the loss of experience. Like, there has to be something to say about the people that have dedicated their lives to these fields and just, that's it.
It's important, right, when we're thinking about sort of a life cycle. You bring somebody in, they learn under someone, they gain the experience, the skills, and then the next person that comes in works underneath them, right? And that transfer of knowledge is sort of that important continual process. When you have a sudden mass exit of people who leave with that knowledge that hasn't been transferred, that can be hard to recover from because they're lost technologies in a way that you have to now go through sort of the fumbling process of as an agency to figure out again, oh, this is how we do things. And so I guess where I'm going with this is, yeah, if you suddenly lose all of your most senior experienced people, you become a little more inefficient in how you do things. And you just can't replace that with somebody off the street because they may not know how to do things the way you would efficiently do them.
Why has it taken so long to get a clear picture of what these federal cuts have looked like here in Alaska? And is that normal for things to take this long? I mean, these cuts started happening over a year ago.
That's the question I asked myself too. And my director asked me several times. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's the right amount of time, but I do know that there's just been sort of a large delay to getting information. I only recently found out that they had put out the data for the federal workforce, and they put it into a whole new system, and there's been sort of a limit on what access you have. I think separately, I've sent in several FOIAs. There's anecdotally, I've just had a longer than expected wait time. And it's been very, very difficult for me to get information. Sometimes I haven't been getting responses at all. So this is to say that it has been hard for me to answer the questions because I just haven't had the data to answer them. And so when I do have the data, I try my best to, you know, get the analysis done quite quickly and put it out as with this situation. But yeah, there's a whole number of other questions I've been meaning to answer.
Brock Wilson is a research assistant professor of economics at the Institute of Social and Economic Research, ICER, at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He spoke with Alaska Public Media's Ava White. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson, Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganumchit coming up.